Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I am excited to be back in your homes. And I know this is a trying time. This is an excitable time as well. And I'm just excited about the opportunity to just talk with you all tonight. And hopefully I say something that will encourage you and that will give you some insight and some direction based upon what I believe that God is doing. So if you can, just bear with me for a few seconds and let's go into a word of prayer. Can we do that? Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you are God, and Father, nothing in this world or nothing in this land will change that narrative, Father, will change that truth. You are God, and Father, we pray, God, that something is said tonight that will uplift, encourage your people, Father. This is about your people, O Lord, and God, and those that would want to know who you are even more, that would engage whatever process you lay before them, that they may know you. Father, we bless you. We love you. Again, Father, speak to those ears, Father. You plant seed. Help me plant that seed, God, that they will see something that they have never saw before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Once again, thank you all for tuning in tonight, and I believe that something is going to be said to change your mindset, encourage you, or shed light on what's going on. And I think it's crucial because there are some things that need to be said. Religious people will fight what I'm going to say. Those that love God know, you know, and feel what I'm going to say. And I'm not here to determine who is with God and who is not. I just want to lay it out to you the way it historically has been laid out, if that's okay. So, you know, the show was entitled Don't Forget the Feast. And we're talking about the seven feasts of the Lord. You know, the children of Israel had seven feasts. And so those feasts represented something. And God instructed us never to forget the feast. And when he's telling us not to forget something, there's a reason behind it. And we should always keep that in the forefront of our mind of why he doesn't want us to forget something. And again, if God said it, then there is no doubt in my mind that he brings it back up again. So now you will find the beginning of the feast in the 12th chapter in the book of Exodus. And if we all have seen the storyline of Moses and the children of Israel being under Pharaoh's rule or under his control, they had been turned into slaves. And so some of them did not realize they were slaves because they were born that way. They were born into a situation that was not conducive. But God knew that they were slaves, and so God knew that they were his chosen people. I want to really dig on that. God knew that these are the people that I had chosen, that I had selected, that I had handpicked through the lineage of Abraham. And so he had special things for his people, and that's something that we have to understand, that he had special things for his people. And so he wrote something in the 11th chapter in the book of Exodus. Moses writes this, and it's 11 and 7. And he said, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doeth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So before we go into the feast, you know, this really rides upon the line in which I really want folks to understand, and you need to grab a hold of this, is that before Pharaoh speaks out of his mouth and says that the firstborn shall die, this is the final plague, this is plague number 10, God had already instructed Moses that Pharaoh was going to speak these very words out of his mouth. He already said that. And he said that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart before. And so Pharaoh, you know, as he speaks these, Moses warned him to be careful of what thou speak. You know, Pharaoh had gotten beyond himself, and he thought that he was bigger than Moses is God. This is the thing that was in his mind. And so through his own magic or through his own control or influence over the Egyptians, that he could defeat or outlast the God of Israel. And so he thought that. And so so God was determined now to make it known that there's a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel, right? So, you know, grab a hold of that, because this has to make sense from God's perspective. And I, before I go into that, now think about that. God is making a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. He's freeing his people away from a place that he never wanted them to be. But since ancestrally they made a decision, and the ones that they're presently didn't make that decision, but their forefathers made a decision to go be in Egypt with the Egyptians against what God had told them to do, he is making a difference now between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. Now, we have categorized the children of Israel as the believers or the church or the ecclesia. And we have categorized the Egyptians as the world. So God now is making a difference between the believers and the world. Notice that now. He is making a difference between the believers and the world. God is. He's not trying to save the Egyptians because they worship idol gods. They don't worship him. He's trying to save his own, that he had something and created something for them specifically, but their ancestors decided that they were going to mingle and cross over the Jordan, cross that line, and be with the Egyptians. Now, some of us put more faith in the church, not so much the body of Christ, but we put a lot of weight on being in the building. And so years have come, if I go back years ago, pastors were concerned about how do I reach the young people. I can go back to the early 80s, the 1980s. How do I reach the young people? And so in order to reach them, they had started to allow things what we call in the church, that it would attract the young people. And bringing that type of thought process in, something else was attached to it and came with it. And so then we find that the buildings are getting bigger, but the believers are not increasing, because everybody that came into the building weren't believers. They just loved the music. They loved the music because it had a groove to it. It had a bounce to it. And the choirs could sing. And so it became where pastors really never preached the gospel. They just became motivational speakers. And they became the platform while the Bible was the backdrop. Now, I know everybody don't like what I just said. That's okay. And so because the Bible became the backdrop and never the forefront, there was never enough reading and studying to really discover that God had made a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. So not only did they cross Jordan to go mix with them, it looks like in the early 80s that the present day church crossed over Jordan to mix with the Egyptians. That's interesting, ain't it? Now, this thing comes biblically in a time in which, you know, God has made a decision and he's trying to encourage Pharaoh to let my people go. And now, in that, there were plagues. There were, and just to name off a few, we had the water had changed to blood. And so we had the darkness coming, and we had locusts and lice and pestilence, fogs. And so we had hail. And so all of these things were coming in the process of trying to separate God's chosen people from the slave master, from the Egyptians. Interesting now, interesting that even in the time that they were trying to do this, Pharaoh gets mad in the beginning of the story, and he wants now God's people to build his fortress. Wanted them to build the city that he wanted, and now and he makes it difficult for them because he now wants them to make brick without straw. And I don't have to use the analogies to where we've been since the early 80s and things of that nature. If we really take a good look at it, that as we work in this society and for certain companies and certain people, the employees and some companies were never that important. The important thing was the bottom line, was what they wanted and how they wanted to live, because this was their company. And if we want to survive, then we're going to work for them. So then the technology age comes in. People not as savvy as they are begin to suffer behind that, because the manufacturing jobs had left, but those that could do the job had to now work without the same resources that they had before. In so many words, now they have to make brick without straw. I just want y'all to see this now, and you pay close attention to it. And so all of these things happen, but this final thing happens out of the mouth of Pharaoh. God, being God, knew that Pharaoh was going to say this. He was not caught off guard that Pharaoh was going to mention that the firstborn will be killed. The only ones that knew that Pharaoh was going to say that, Pharaoh didn't know he was going to say that, but God told Moses and Aaron. So he let Moses and Aaron know before this thing happened. Interesting now. I want y'all to pay close attention to this. So the Bible says that before God does something in the earth, he reveals it to his prophets first. And so God had told me a few years ago, and told me last year and even leading up to the beginning of this year, if any of you all saw some things I posted or some things I sent you, or if you listened to me, if you was on this show, I told you, I see something come. Don't know exactly what it is, but it's about to free up God's people. It's the very thing that I said. I said that consistently and constantly because the Lord kept reminding me that what you see now, well, don't pay close attention to what you see because I'm getting ready to do something different. He was getting ready to separate now, put a difference between the world and his people. So I ought to grab a hold of that now. And I'm going to say something, because as much as I'm not an advocate and fan of the president, I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican, I'm not fond of these people, we have made our arguments in time about them. And as if they have more power than God. But let me do the comparison. The people leave Egypt, and as they're gone, Pharaoh decides to pursue them. And the people then cry out to Moses, "You brung us out here to be killed." Moses. And even Moses shakes a little bit, and he then asks God, "What shall I do?" And as the leader, God had already prepared Moses for this. I wonder, right? The real leaders in this hour, in this time, that have that word that God had given them. I'm going to repeat it again. As God said to Moses, and I'm not God, but I'm going to release it and say it unto us, "What's in your hand?" Whew. My Lord. Boy, I felt the presence of the Lord on that one. "What's in your hand?" He said to Moses, "What's in your hand?" "Moses, stretch out your rod." Hallelujah. In delivering them, now they were concerned. So why should we, now I'm going into, why should we, why is it significant in this hour that we not forget the feast? Because one of the feast, the first movement of God happened at the 10th plague. And we recognize it in this season, in this time, is coming up as a feast of the Passover. Some call it Easter because during the time of the Passover, they worshiped a god other than God. But God chose this very hour, this very moment that will be called the Feast of the Passover, because he did something that separated and that put a difference between Egypt and his people. And I'm going to try to teach y'all. I don't want to preach. I'm sitting down. God sends, and watch this now. He did not tell the Egyptians what to do. Didn't do that. He didn't do that. But he told Moses and said, "Tell Aaron to tell the people." Gave now them instructions to the children of Israel, didn't give it to the Egyptians, He gave it to the children of Israel. And the message was to be given to his people, because Moses was the mouthpiece for God for his people. I want y'all to hear this now. Let me tear down some religious walls and how we are really crossing back over into Egypt when God is trying to pull us out. I want you to hear this now. It's just probably going to be the next 7 weeks of talking about something like this. So God gives instructions to Moses to tell his people in the process that they should sacrifice, build an altar, sacrifice a turtle dove, a lamb, he lamb, or a bullock. And that they had instructions of what to put on the altar and set on fire and what to burn and what to eat. Let me keep going now. He also tells them to pull in a neighbor. That if they did not have the necessary items to do the sacrifice, pull them in. And take the blood from the sacrifice and put it over the doorpost, right? Over the top of the door and on the sides of the door. Take the blood, spread it on those sides and over it. Because I'm coming in on the wings of death. Boy, I want y'all to hear me here tonight. I'm coming in on the wings of death. And when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. At that moment, these instructions is given to the children of Israel without giving it to the Egyptians. Because if you believe the instructions that God gave Aaron to give to the children of Israel, his people, then you're going to separate now yourselves from the Egyptians, because they don't have a plan to deal with what God is bringing down on them. Only the children of Israel. I want y'all to hear me now. I'm not here to debate or to say that who is with God and who's not. That's not what I'm doing. I want to paint this picture for you. And so now, as this is done, death won't visit the firstborn, because Pharaoh wanted to destroy the seed that was in God's people. The firstborn. The value of a son was greater because they kept the name going. There was strength in having a son. Now, again, I'm dealing with their time and their season. So, really grabbing hold of that now. To think about this, God is now making a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. That if I see the blood, if you follow these instructions, when I come in tonight on the wings of death, your firstborn will live. If I don't see it, then you've made yourself a party with the Egyptians. Now, there are a couple of ways I can go with this. I'm going to choose this way. And again, I want you all to bear with me now, because if you go into the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, 12 and 13, you now see of what is happening when we discuss the feast of the Passover. Because this goes on in time up until Jesus.
But at this particular moment now, God shows that the lamb or the blood of a domestic animal will now be the key to saving the life saving the souls of people. Don't get caught up in the screaming and the hollering of those that going through this night, as much as we have compassion for people. We have to follow the instructions that are given by that leader that did not play politics. That leader that was being led by God, that would separate himself from the Egyptians and the chosen children of Israel. Now, what's interesting about that, and this is the route that I'm going to take, oftentimes in this day, we have our mindset, but we have our mindset on demonizing folk that don't believe what you believe. We target the gay, homosexual, lesbian, LGBTQ plus. We target those folks, those young girls that are having abortions. And those people may not have received the instructions that God has given you. He did not give you those instructions to give to them. The instructions that he gave you was to love them. Not demonize or criticize them because you're a slave right now. God is trying to deliver you, trying to deliver us. Without death, he's trying to deliver us. Separating us, those that follow him, and hoping that the manner by which we live is attractable to them that don't believe. Not by what we say, but by how we live. Interesting now. Because if we follow that mindset, instead of picking up a weapon or using this book that we call the Bible as a weapon to take with us and throw at people, he's asking us not to take the book and give it to him. He's asking you to consume it first, that it become a part of your life, not that you would quote it, but that you would live it. But now that's difficult for some of us to do because we cross back over into Egypt. Difficult now. Where God made a difference because of you being chosen, you have not respected the fact of what God has chosen in you. We become more judgmental of people. We've attacked more people. We've beat up more people. We've drew lines between each other politically as if God wants us to draw that line. Only time he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, is when it came to taxes. They will do. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar. Not one time in here biblically will we find the instructions that God gave the children of Israel that he said unto the Egyptians. Because this crucial piece here in the 11th chapter and the 7th verse indicates he made a difference between Egypt and his children. So when it came to how they should live, he wasn't telling the Egyptians how to live. He was telling his children how to live. So why is it so? In this particular book that we all say we read, that we know, God made the difference and we didn't. How is that? How is it that now we hadn't made a difference? We look like them. We don't act like God. We sound like them. We don't have wisdom in our mouths. Now, I'm not saying that we hate folks that don't love God. We shouldn't do that. We should love people. We should love them all. But we shouldn't parade them across television screens. Our social media process where we have young men, black and white, Hispanic, that are gay. And we want to point a finger at them and to destroy them and not know their story. We don't want to reach out and love them. Because this book that we read, Science Through Love and Kindness, Have I Drawn Thee, meaning you. He had to love you out of your mess. You probably wasn't a homosexual, you know, but you know, were you a liar? Were you a cheater? I had a conversation with some people one day, and it was eye-opening how they were quick to say that homosexuality is an abomination, and that's what it says in this book. But when it came to going to Proverbs, he also said lying lips is an abomination. Now, I'll make it even much easier for you. You go back to the scripture in the book of Leviticus where it talks about God setting up the laws between how he wanted his people to act. He didn't say this to the Egyptians. He said it to his people. He also told them that a man shouldn't lay with a man like he would lay with a woman. So shall a woman not lay with a woman the same way. But he said a man shouldn't lay with his mother-in-law, his sister-in-law, his daughters, his nieces, or his wife's aunt. That any such activity outside of what he had designed between he and that woman was considered an abomination. Nobody wants to get to that part of the scripture that says that. It's in that same line. Same line. No difference. But we want to pick out that one piece, and we want to say that America should turn its heart back to God. America's heart has never been towards God. Never been towards God. He has people in this nation and around the world that have their heart towards them. That would indicate that the body of Christ is not a building. It's a people. We've forgotten that. The feast was not about a building. It was about a people. And that God had used the example to let us know that he is drawing a line. He draws the line, not us, between the Egyptians and his chosen. That's interesting. That's something to sit back and really kind of dig into. Because now only God can determine who's with him. Now he says, know them that labor among you. If you go back and read that scripture, he was talking about spiritually. And the only way you'll get that insight is that God revealed it to you. not through gossip, not through what someone said or what they think is true or what the narrative is being painted. If we are believers, why are we on social media fighting about Donald Trump, the Democrats, or the Republicans? And know that none of those people have your best interests at heart. It's all about them. Now, at the end of the day, you got to vote because that's a right you've been given. We need to vote. But why is this an argument? Because we mixed ourselves. We crossed over the Jordan. And now it becomes critical in our eyesight that we, as we have become people that are with the Egyptians, their system is what works. That's what we've started believing. So we trust that a Republican is going to say what the Christians want. Some people believe that a Democrat can speak for a Christian, you know, and I don't claim to be a Christian. I'm a believer. God never called me a Christian. Some tell me I'm too technical in my terms. But God was technical. He made it clear, technical. So we want to muddy the waters. We want to blur the lines. Blurred lines. That way we can say, well, I didn't know that I had crossed the line because I couldn't see it. I really want you to think about this. What we see going on right now, plague just hit the land. Anybody that knows me, I've been talking about it. I've been telling them, watch out, that plague is coming. Plague is coming. Don't forget the feast. Don't forget the feast. I'm not saying that apostolic people, Baptist folks, holiness folks, I'm not saying that. I'm saying people that are called by the name of God. Don't forget the feast. Because that feast was what separated us from the Egyptians. It freed us. Because there's a land that has been promised to us. There's a place that has been designated for us. And since we've left it to mix with the Egyptians, someone has taken what belongs to us. But in order to get there, get back to it, God has to lead us there. And since we don't know how to separate ourselves, He's doing it for us. But there's instructions now. There are instructions. And before I leave here tonight, I want to share with you what those instructions are. This is not me being religious. I'm a religious man. I want to share with you what these instructions are. These instructions will not be found in the building that we call church. These instructions will not be found historically in the book that we call the Bible. I'm going to say something that's going to twist your wig. It will be found in the Word of God. Now, what do I mean by it won't be found in this book we call the Bible, but it will be found in the Word of God? This is the written word, historical, that we have received, that we have categorized as the Word of God. But what they wrote about is what I'm going to tell you about. They didn't use this book to talk about God's Word. They had the ability to hear from God. The children in Israel didn't have a book. They had a word, and God delivered it. And when he delivered that word, he showed himself to them. In this day and age that we live in, They can take this book away. You may not remember everything that's in here, but if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to you, you will survive this. I want you to hear me. And as I sit here on the wall, my mom has a picture on the wall of the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. It wasn't the Lord's Prayer. But in this, right, and I'm closing, in this, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us. And he didn't say repeat this when you hear it. That's not what he said. He says, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name means how holy is thy name. Thy Father which art in heaven. Lord God, how holy is thy name. The instructions now, that we pray that thy kingdom come, that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Notice now, this is what he's telling the disciples. This is how you should pray. And if you witness the kingdom of God, if you've been a part and seen what the kingdom is, begin to ask the Lord that thy kingdom that sits in the heavens reveal itself here on earth, that thy will be done in earth. What is the will of God? God's will here on earth is the same as it is in his presence. It says, give us this day our daily bread. God, feed us your word. And not that what was written, but that which you speak. Speak to us today, Father. You have us, O Lord. You got our attention. We're in our homes. The jobs are not calling upon us. Speak to us, God. And then it says that we should ask to be forgiven of our debts. The other version says our sins. Forgive us, O Lord, of our sins. As we forgive those that are debtor. Listen to that. He's asking the disciples that when you pray, you need to pray and ask God for forgiveness. But as you ask, you forgive. Then he says to the disciples, that you ask the Lord to lead you not into an area that you would be tempted. Because God knows your weakness. He knows what will make you fall. So, Lord, don't lead me into that place that I would be tempted to do something wrong, to go against your word. But, Lord, deliver us from evil. The evil that sets around us, deliver us, O God, protect us. Take us out of the place that we have really put ourselves in. And then it says, and we don't get this, for thine is the kingdom. Thine. You are the kingdom. When you pray, pray that you recognize that Jesus is the kingdom that has been revealed before you and the power. He is the glory forever. He closes that prayer in the book of Matthew by saying amen. Meaning that it is final when you do this. The instructions that are going to separate us in this hour is going to come from you hearing the word of the Lord. And for those that don't have what you have, that don't understand what you understand, pull them in. Pull them in. Create a shelter for them that they may partake in this feast and this opportunity to be separated from the Egyptians. As God begins to declare the feast of the Passover again. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the unique part in this that I really want to leave with you, don't fret. Don't be dismayed. Seek the instructions of the Lord. And if you don't know what those instructions are, he has delivered a word to somebody around you. We would think that the pastors have the word, but they mix with the Egyptians. Their way sounds like the Egyptians. God distinguishes Lee and has distinguished a very conversation. He didn't reveal to everybody. He only revealed to his people. It's time for us to stop thinking that the world knows how to live and that we would sit here to show the world or tell the world, not show the world, but tell the world how to live and then not show them how to live. I know a bunch of religious people going to take this recording and y'all going to say this boy done lost his mind or whatever the case may be. This is biblical. This is completely biblical. As much as you would want to stand up in a pulpit and scream and holler at someone for how they're living, what is the instructions that God gave? Because the instructions that he gave separated them if they obeyed. Because God was coming in with a purpose not to kill his own people or to judge his own people. That wasn't the reason why he was coming. He came that night to make sure that they were released from the hands of bondage. And if God can deliver them, surely he can deliver us. This book that we read that we call the Bible indicates that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The advocate that we have in the blood now is not the lamb. It's not the bullock or the turtle dove. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ himself. So I want to encourage you today that you would hear from the Lord. We're in the midst of the night with this thing. We're hearing the cries and the screams. We're watching the death tolls over TV, the infected over the TV. We listen to some that sound like they got a plan and those that don't. And it's just not affecting one, but it's scattering all over the world. And there's a cry from God's people, Lord, what are we going to do? As if he has never told us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We even have those that are saying, where is God in this hour? Where is your God? I heard someone say to me. And I wanted to tell them, but God said, hold thy tongue. I didn't say a word. But for those that are listening tonight, as I close this out, tell you, don't forget the feast. Study that. Read about it. There's an action that God is taking, and when it's all said and done, there's going to be a release,
for all those that think that you knew what God was going to do, you'll find out if you got the blood or not. Tonight I'm going to pray that all those that could hear tonight be covered in the blood, be safe, and that that disease and the death angel pass over. I have oil. Everybody that I know, that I love, I've given all to, and I've shared it with them, and so because I wanted them to have it, but most of you have your own, and that's a blessing. I want you to take your oil tonight, and I want you to anoint yourself, your children, if you're listening. If you could talk to your children, anoint them. God is going to make a difference between you and the Egyptians tonight. He's going to put a difference between that. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, they ask you how to pray. And Father, I know that you are God. You're holy. How holy is thy name? Hallelujah. Father, reveal thy kingdom unto us, that it may come in the midst of us right now, that we stand in line and witness your will being done here on earth as you have established it in your presence. Father, this is the day that our ears are open and our spirits are available, that you, Father, can release the bread of heaven. Hallelujah. Feed us, O God, in this hour. O Lord, feed us, O God, till our spirit, our body, our souls want no more. Father, it is in this day, O God, that forgive us, O Lord. We render ourselves as those that have not done everything correctly and properly, O God. We have not completely followed thy word. Lord, forgive us, Father. And Lord, for those that have done us wrong, God, we wipe their slate clean right now, Father. We hold them no more accountable, O God, for what has happened. And Lord, as we go through this dark night, there are going to be some people trying to get us to do things that sound good, that look good, Father. But Lord, it's tempting. It takes us into a weakness that we're not prepared for, Lord. And it makes us want to go back into an area that you have once delivered us from, like a dog returning to his vomit. In that, O Lord, is that day of evil. And Father, O God, and we don't want to be delivered into the hands of the evil one. So deliver us from that evil. For you are our kingdom. You are our power and glory. And Lord, from this day until forever, you will always be that. And I conclude, Father, by saying amen. In Jesus' name, Father, do we declare this. Amen. So, dear hearts, I pray that I said something that would have encouraged you, and that you would find the blood. Cover yourselves. Cover yourselves in the blood of Jesus. It is spiritual today. It was natural during that feast that he gave his life. Fitting that we're embarking upon what people call Resurrection Sunday or Easter. I'm not going to call it Resurrection Sunday. I'm not going to call it Easter. We are embarking upon the feast of the Passover. In the midst of a plague, isn't that interesting? We are embarking upon the feast of the Passover in the midst of a plague. I wonder, are you ready? And have you taken the blood and placed it over your heart? God bless you all. I love you all. I appreciate you. I pray the blessings of the Lord upon your life concerning your father, your mother, your sisters, your siblings, your children, your family as a whole, your finances. I pray and release the blessings of the Lord over your businesses, your jobs, your funding, your ministry, your destiny, covering it in the blood. Surely, if it's covered, death, destruction will pass over. God bless you. Talk to you next Thursday.